Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with IKEA Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. The Irish entrant was Leslie Roy, and the song was called Maps, but have we lost our way? When it comes to the Eurovision, that's the opinion of some of our callers, at least. Paul, good afternoon. Paul McKeown, Eurovision super fan for many, many long years, we know, here on Liveline. What happened last night, Paul? What do you think went wrong?
Hello, Joe. Thanks for having me on. First of all, I just want to say Rotterdam did host an excellent given the COVID conditions. So, yeah. Let's not forget that we were under a lot of pressure and no one was, you know, sick or anything. I think what went wrong last night, again, remember, it's a song contest. I think Ireland are doing their best. I think Leslie was a great ambassador for Ireland. Mm. I think in all the reviews and all her kind of bloggers out there, they really think Leslie is amazing. But again, it's a song contest. And I think the song on the night just was not strong enough, Joe. It really wasn't.
And how did we compare in terms of, did you see the Malta, in terms of pyrotechnics, so to speak, and a television spectacle?
Leslie and her kind of group did say they're trying something different. And they did last night. It didn't work for me. You know, the song, while it's a song contest, it's a show contest as well. Okay. So every country is putting on the best performance. That's the voice, the song, the pyros, everything needs to be top-notch on the night. I think they tried something different, RTE and Leslie. It didn't work.
And just didn't get through. For people who didn't see it, how would you describe what they did?
Well, obviously, she was trying to... Maps is a song about a journey, and Leslie wrote the song with two others about her journey in the last year or two and getting to Eurovision and the COVID situation. She tried to tell a story of a storybook, but for me, the paper sections didn't work. I didn't know what it was about. She was looking into a camera, and again, I was a bit lost to see what she was doing. And then she went off, she was on a treadmill, she was running around, and her vocals on the night were not the best I've seen or heard. So I think
If you're running around and on a treadmill, you wouldn't surely be out of breath.
You would, but again, she wouldn't be the only one. This has been done before. They were trying something new and something
and
different.
And I saw a lot of paper trees. What was the significance of them, that forest?
In her official video for Matt, she's in a forest. So she's running up hills and she's in a forest. So she tried to recreate this in a little storybook.
Okay. She's in a real forest. I don't know much about television, but is there no way you can recreate a forest more visually and more 50 shades of green than just black and white? It was a black and white forest, wasn't it, with paper cut out?
It was a black and white paper cut out forest, and then she was kind of running through and fall within that. But the team she worked with Sweden when they won a few years ago, and Mans, who won with Hero. Again, they had a different stage, and for the first time they won.
So you're saying that Leslie didn't hit the step on the night? It can happen to any of us.
Absolutely.
She didn't hit the step, okay. Who did the voting? And are we forever damned because of the voting process?
Well, I bring it back to RTE, in my personal opinion, as a super fan and part of the Eurovision Club Ireland. Bring back to national selection. Remember, if you look at a country like Sweden, they do a 6-week national selection. 3 million people watch it every week of a population of 10 million. They have lots more weeks and months to try these ideas. Leslie could have started trying this 3 months ago on a national stage, and people could have voted and said, no, we don't like it, we won't put her through. She doesn't have that option. She has to wait till the Eurovision semi-final to try this.
Paul, do you have to be well known to represent Ireland?
No, you don't. Anyone. And again,
well, does it help if you're well known?
I don't think so, because if you look at 2 years ago, obviously last year wasn't on. The girl was in the voice of Ireland, but she wouldn't have been the most well known person ever. I think anyone can go to be Eurovision and represent the country, and I think that's what's great about Eurovision. It's a platform for any young songwriter singers in Ireland to get out there and make a career.
Should we rethink going forward, to use that wonderful phrase, Should we rethink?
Get back to the national selection or the national final, where people will see in front of them what's there, and you can either pick up the phone or text now and vote them through. Not wait till the semi-final and then see will it work or not.
Okay, Dermot, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What did you think? This is Dermot Furlong, your head of Ireland's Eurovision fan club, and you know Paul well. And there's 400 members.
Hi, Paul. How are you? I was gutted last night that Leslie didn't qualify. I was anxious all along that, you know, I thought it was going to be a struggle for her to qualify. I think last night's semi-final was probably one of the toughest semi-finals over the past 10 years. So she was always, it was always going to be an uphill battle for her to qualify.
And what did you think of the performance and the staging and the... Like there seemed to be a mess up at the start. There was silences and
there was. But in fairness, that really, when that happened last night, I got very worried as well. But in hindsight, in fairness, that had nothing to do with the Irish performer or anything. It was a technical issue with a television camera broke down. So. But again,
that's nothing to do with the RTE or the Irish.
No, it had nothing to do with RTE or Leslie. But in fairness, it probably wouldn't have helped Leslie's nerves because she was just about to start her song.
They
and
would have
happened.
Said, "Hang on."
That's it. And I mean, it was only maybe two or 3 minute delay, but that could have seemed like an eternity to Leslie when she started.
No, it's
stage.
Like it's so, like going back to the Atlanta Olympics in 1986, I think was it, when Michelle Smith she couldn't find her, she had goggles but she couldn't find her proper goggles, so that discommode. Remember she had to run back in.
Anything like that can completely throw you. But look at what RT did with the performance last night, and I mean it was something new, it was exciting, it was ambitious, it might have been a bit over ambitious. I mean, on paper. Pardon the pun, but in theory, you know, it all sounds amazing. Whether it worked on the night, I'm not 100% sure. I don't think it came across as well as it was hoped that it would.
Okay, now yesterday on our program, well, it was on the promo, we mentioned that Jedward called for a boycott of Israel, who were in there, I mentioned it yesterday. They were in our group last night. We're number 7, they were number 12. They got through, even though, judging by if you read any media at the moment, any newspapers, there is if you look at the demonstrations around the world, including Dublin, there's a big anti-Israeli movement out there, but they still got through.
There is, but in fairness, at the end of the day, Eurovision is a song contest, so it shouldn't really be political. Now, I did fear for the Israeli, because in fairness to Eden, the Israeli performer, I mean, she really does deserve her place in the final on Saturday night. I mean, vocally, she was very strong. I mean, it's a very catchy song with a great performance. It deserved to make it to the final on Saturday night. Now, I did fear with the current situation, I just thought people across Europe might not pick up the phone and vote for Israel. I mean, and that has nothing to do with the Israeli performer. She has no control over it. But I just did think of the current political situation that it may not qualify. And in fairness, Israel came out of the envelopes very early in the game. So I think they came out second. So as soon as Israel came out, it kind of diminished.
And how many of the 16 entries last night, how many didn't make it out of the semi-final?
Six.
Okay. So 10 got through.
10 got through, and 10 more will go through tomorrow night.
Okay, stay with us if you can. Joe at RT.ie, 5 and 551 Mashers. Maeve Hearns. Maeve, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You thought Leslie was brilliant.
I thought she did a terrific job. As I said to your researcher there, I don't know her from Adam. She looked as if she was, I don't know whether this has been said before now because I've been holding on, but she looked as if she was trying to get out of a jungle and kind of try and keep, hold a note at the same time. I thought that was ridiculous. I thought she was a lovely girl, and I think it's a bit of a misnomer now at this stage to be calling it a song contest. It looked, the Israeli one, and there was another one as well, it looked more like a soft porn show to me. You'd be too busy looking or listening to the song.
And what do you mean soft porn,
the way they were dressed and everything. You know what I mean? like it's supposed to be. I know you can have a show and make it enjoyable and everything.
What do you mean, low cut and tight and
yeah,
short?
Yeah, and the suspender belts and all that kind of thing.
That was the fellas. What about the women?
Yeah, well, there was a couple of very dubious. I thought the song was okay. It was as good as any of the ones that went through.
Okay, and you're surprised we didn't get through.
I was surprised too that the Israeli song, because like that, whoever was on there before me was saying, I thought with the angst and all that, what's going on out there at the moment, that they wouldn't get a vote at all. But when I heard that went through, I said, not good. I think now we're battling here, and so it proved to be true. But I think it's time to get out of it because it's just not worth it. You couldn't even say, like, I feel sorry for that girl because the only reason I rang you up there, I was looking at something online and I was on the journal and I saw some of the comments from people, like, it's so hard. You know, I mean, she. I heard her, I don't know whether it was on the Late Late Show or something else, but she was terrific singing the song. But I'd say with all those leaves slapping her face last night, didn't do her any good. Were we responsible for that? Like, was that RTE set up or was it provided by...
Dermot, would you know, RTE, who organises, who designs the set for every, I presume, each country?
Each country would design, each country would design their own performance.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've asked RT these questions, but they won't answer them at the moment.
But I always say to people who say, you know, it's time to give up Eurovision and get out of it because we're not going to win.
Yeah, that's what you're going to get, isn't it?
Because we're not going to win, just because it's not, you know, I suppose we're not going to win, given the way people vote, like, for one another and everything. But
I always think that's kind of nonsense in that, I mean, we've never won the World Cup. We probably never will win the World Cup. But if you were to say, oh, well, Ireland should just drop out and we shouldn't go into the World Cup anymore.
Well, maybe we peaked too soon. Like, you know, we had all those early successes and, you know, it's...
Yeah, but we have won the World Cup Eurovision 5 times, Dermot, have we not? Many times. Seven times.
Yeah, we're still ahead.
One for every day of the week.
I know, but we're the only country that, I mean, you know, if you take it like Netherlands won the last Eurovision in Israel in 2019, but it was 46 years since they won it before, you know what I mean? So it's, there's
come back around. Okay. Okay, yeah. Who wants, Michael in Dublin, Nate, what do you think we should send?
I believe that I thought she done very well last night. Everybody's given out now. You see, but I really think she done well. It's a very, very hard for any singer to sing in front of millions around the world. Okay, the way it was done last night, excellent. I've no faults. But I think now the music has changed now.
Okay.
I mean, way back in the days of Dickie Rock and all these love songs and Johnny Logan, that was then, this is now. So I suggest now we start looking for a band, a young band. And you're talking about, somebody said about laser lights. Well, even if you want to do that, put a young band on. I said that for years. Put a young band on. Even my goddaughter, Mia, she loves to listen to Beyonce. Young bands. You know what I mean? We love West. We had Westlife. And you see the way it's young people now who are actually going for this Eurovision. It's not people in my age bracket anymore. It's young people. Do you remember, Joe, one time you saw the crowds there? They were all young people. Watching the Eurovision when they were able to go on their thousands. But this is what's happening now. But I guarantee you, Joe, I guarantee you, come back
band,
to me
a
next
young
year.
Band.
If you put a band in next year, I guarantee you we will get
in. Well, have you heard the U2 song that they've written for the Euros this year? It's incredible.
No, your man was saying about the football. We've done very well. And thank you, Joe, for bringing that up. Getting back to your man. We've done very well. We qualified for the World Cup. See, we're very, very hard goers here in Ireland. I don't care. And we don't lie down. And people are saying, oh, yeah, well, don't go to the Eurovision.
So you say, what was your, looking at last night, what was your most, what did you think was the most impressive entry, Michael?
I thought the girl who came out, I think she's from Israel, no matter what you think, what's going on at the moment, politics and singing and religion do not get on well together. So this was a song contest last night. I thought she was excellent. I'm going to put, I'm not a gambler, but if I was, I'd probably put €5 on that girl. No, I haven't heard the other songs. I used to watch it. I used to love it. But in the last couple of years, it's just gone off track altogether. Because
okay, so you say get on our knees and beg Bono on the Edge and Larry and Adam.
And then, Joe, because you have children yourself. You were in the car when they were young, Joe. You turned on the radio. You had your CDs. What did they listen to, Joe? Young singers, young bands.
Well, Jared, you know what they're listening to now?
No.
Dermot Kennedy. Gavin James. Picture this. Codaline, the Coronas.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, Codaline are a band.
That's right. I know that. Okay.
Well, then it's a band contest, not a song contest.
Okay, well, let's think about a band. Mary Carter. Mary Carter's in Kildare. What do you think, Mary? What do you think?
Well, if I said two kitchen rolls, a black pen, and two sheets of grey card, that's what the display was last night. The girl
Say that again, Mary.
If you were looking at what we were presented with, it was like when she was running, there was a toilet roll either side or a kitchen roll either side of her, going around and around with little drawings on it that a 4 or 5 year old could have done.
Yeah.
And then the forest was two sheets of grey card that were cut out with a scissors. And she was so busy, God help her, trying to remember what to swat or what not to swat and running, that if they had just gotten rid of all that rubbish and let the girl come out on stage and do what she does best, which is belt the song out, because the last 30 seconds, Joe, she was amazing. Mm. Running around the stage, she absolutely had the audience at the latter end.
Did she cry? Did she cry at the end?
Well, I'm sure she was crying because of the embarrassment. I mean, I thought we were bad with what's his name. No, I think when we had Dustin the Turkey, it was embarrassing. But that setup last night was embarrassing for the song, because I looked at it and I was busied by what was going on, so I wasn't really listening to her. And she had to remember what to do. Like, she had to pretend she was swatting something. I don't even know what it was meant to be, Joe, because it was pathetic. And I can understand why no one's standing up and saying, well, actually, we did from this department went ahead with that. I mean, never have I seen anything so bad to put in front of a girl who could sing so brilliantly. So it was pathetic. And I switched off after she sang, because I didn't want to see any more, because I knew she wouldn't get through, and I won't watch it at the weekend, Joe. There's no point. Let her down. Whoever came up with that let her down big time. And if she was crying at the end, it was because she knew she hadn't done well. Her voice was shaky in the middle of it, and I'm not surprised if she was on a treadmill. I mean...
Hello, Joe.
Okay, Michael.
Well, first of all, it is very hard. I mean, we're a fabulous nation here. We're the first to put our hands in to help people. And yet, on the other side, we can also criticise people. It is very hard for a singer to go onto a stage. I don't care whether it's video. It is very, very hard for
absolutely
someone to sing to the rest of the world.
I know.
And this idea, you're bringing up Dustin the Turkey. That was years ago. We're not going back down those days again.
No, I know we're not. And I'm just saying that as a joke. But I think they let her down with what they put her...
Leslie also had a lot of input into the stage production, and a lot of those ideas were Leslie's own ideas.
Sorry, Leslie, you let yourself down, because it didn't translate on the screen. It looked very juvenile. I don't know what it was trying to say. Even when she was running, I'm sure the technical wizardry that was going on behind some of the other artists, if she had just had something like that rather than
I'm reading Ed Power in the Irish Times. It's a very, very, very funny, very good writer, very funny writer. But he says that the set was conceived by, let me come back to it, that Leslie had input into it, but that the set was conceived by the Swedish designer and Eurovision veteran Frederick Reidman.
Oh, geez.
That's
he designed
the set for Ireland. Who's talking there, Dermot?
Yeah, I was just saying, it's the same guy, the Swedish guy, who designed the set for Måns Zimmerloff, who won the Eurovision in 2015.
So that's good.
But it didn't translate.
No, I agree with you. It didn't translate on the night.
There was nothing about it that made any sense.
I really think for Ireland going forward that... I know one of the earlier callers did say that, you know, you don't have to be famous and you don't have to be a well-known name, which is true, you don't. But I do think that that we need some of our established performers to take the mantle and represent our country. Mm-hmm. Because
you don't have to be a well-known name. No, but did you not think in the last 30 seconds that when you could actually see her, when she was on the stage in her bare feet,
and running,
she was belting it, and she had the audience in her hand, and if she could have done that from the start, I think we would have had a different outcome as far as getting into the last 10. I'm not saying we could have won it.
No, but I also think that when you go to the Eurovision stage for the performance, for the performers themselves, in fairness to them, it is probably the biggest stage they're ever going to be on.
Yeah, that's
true. There's a TV audience of 200 million.
Sure.
I know last night there wasn't, but normally there could be an audience of up to 20,000 in the arena.
Yeah.
And it's a huge ask to ask any performer. And a lot of the performers that Ireland have sent in the past they haven't had the experience, so that when they go out on that stage, they're comfortable within themselves.
Reason why they should have let her just come out and sing then, because they were asking her to do all these acrobatic and swiping, and I thought she was being attacked by crows at one point, and I thought, God help her, if that's the case.
Michael, briefly,
just the last thing I'll just say.
Okay.
Well, let me add, Bono, please, someone get Bono to write a song for next year. Get a young band in, and I don't care, Joe, and you come back to me next year, and I tell you, Joe, we will have a fabulous chance.
Okay. Okay, say that. Ruth Walsh before the break, your point. Ruth.
Hi, Ruth, Joe. Dublin. Just wanted to say that the production was absolutely dreadful. I mean, I'm looking at this little 4-year-old below in Cork, Emma Sophia, singing You Raise Me Up.
I saw that.
And I mean, look at her standing in the standing stones. You see the magnificent Irish countryside. Surely that's what we should be projecting around the world. No, you know, in some way she's very young to be wearing that long cloak and she's nearly tripping over it. But I'm saying it gives an authentic Ireland. The other, I thought she was running through a real forest. And I said, dear God, is she down below between Cork and Kerry on those dead forests? Which I know well, and then I realised it was a paper one, and it just looked ludicrous. The song was boring, it was repetitive, and it was anodyne. Why don't we do something that we do well ourselves instead of imitating other countries?
Well, what's the thing we do well ourselves?
Well, as I said, producing something that is a song that you know, that gets to people's hearts, like, you know, that young one a number of years ago, during the 1916,
Sinead, that kind of thing.
Her uncle, Patrick Cassidy, wrote that. Now, he's a wonderful...
One of our listeners earlier on was saying to us that they had an interview with Father Ray Kelly. You know Father Ray Kelly, Hallelujah,
I do, yeah.
The Voice. And he said he'd love to represent Ireland in the Eurovision. Do you think we should enter Father Ray Kelly?
He's lovely, but I think maybe not quite the right age group. But anyhow, it's the song is wrong, and the Shebeen.
Is there an age limit? Could we enter Emma Sophia?
Well, maybe she's a little young now.
Well, God, she's a little young. She's flying on YouTube. She did her own Christmas special in her kitchen. Did you see that?
It's incredible. No, I missed that. But
she's filming, as you say, she's filming in the countryside. She's wearing her communion dress in the standing stone. Then she's sitting beside, I presume it's her mother, isn't the grand piano?
The mother isn't a musician, I think, yeah.
And then she's so confident.
She's fabulous, and she's a real Irish child with the curly hair, and the, you know, she's got that open, unsophisticated look of an Irish country child, you know, and that's what people will respond to, not something manufactured partly in Sweden and partly somewhere else. You know, that's what we're trying to do, is do the same as Europe instead of our own individuals.
Well, then we'd ask Emma Sophia's mother, Dermot Furlong, is there an age limit?
There is. You have to be over 16.
Okay, keep rehearsing those, Emma.
Sophie. Well, back to Shebeale then, and back to Patrick Cassidy. She's a fabulous voice, okay. And he is okay. A wonderful. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
And of course, thank you, Ruth. Dermot, there cannot be an age at the other end, sure there can't.
No, there's no upper age. There is another contest, a junior Eurovision contest that Ireland sometimes enters.
Okay,
sometimes,
well, we should be entering that.
TG4.
With Emma Sophia, yeah. And what's the oldest entrance ever?
God, I'm not too... I think it's Engelbert Humperdinck. I think he was in his... I'm not sure, in his early 80s at the time.
Yeah, but then again, you can be very young, being a granny. Didn't Russia say a few years ago all their performance were grannies?
That's right, and ended up coming second.
You can be very young to be a granny, can't you?
That's true.
Okay, you can be a granny 18. You can be a granny in your 40s. Well, okay, and that's very young. Our 50s, that's very young. 60s, even younger. 70s, younger.
At the end of the day, though, what you need to is you have to start off with a fantastic song. I mean, the contest, as a contest, it's changed over the years. You know, it's a different beast now than it was when we were in our heyday in the early 90s. You have to have an overall package.
Stay with us, Dermot. Loads of people want to participate after this break. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We're talking about the Eurovision last night. Well, the semi-final that RTE didn't get out of, so to speak, so they won't be, not RTE, but the RTE entry, the Irish entry. Leslie Roy with Maps couldn't find her way out of it anyway, and people are giving their views on why. Some say it was a song, some say Leslie got confused or upset or didn't hit the step because there was a camera broken and there was a delay. Well, that's the fault at the Rotterdam end, at the EBU end. Others are saying the song didn't suit. Others, more people are saying that the set, which was made up of paper trees, was atrocious. Pat Lawler, Pat, good afternoon.
How are you, Joe? How's it going?
What happened?
I think the production was poor. To me, the vocals weren't great on the night, and the production was very poor. It was like some sort of cartoon from Czechoslovakia from the 1960s.
What are you saying? Lolek and Bolek?
Yeah, I just, you know, I like the song. This is the sad part about it, song. But I just thought that production was all wrong, and unfortunately, whatever happened, Leslie's vocal, I think, wasn't as strong as it should have been, as much and all as I wanted it to do well. Now, I've heard Dermot speak there. I call Dermot Mr. Eurovision.
Yeah.
I think it goes every year. Hiya, Dermot.
He's back there, yeah. He's gone for a minute.
He's gone, yeah.
No, I'll be back in a minute. I'm also somebody pointed out during the outbreak that Emma Sophia, age 3, has recorded all kinds of everything. You know, when Dana sang that was a Eurovision entry for Ireland back in the day. Back in the day.
I think, you see, as far as I know, Leslie is a songwriter, first and foremost. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, it's too late now, but perhaps maybe, you know, stronger singer might have been selected. I don't know.
Okay, stay with us more after this break.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
We are talking about the Eurovision. That's Charpentier's Te Deum, and it's the prelude. Julian Vignolles was in charge of the Eurovision here in RTE for a good few years. Julian, good afternoon. He's also the author of a book called Inside the Eurovision Song Contest, Music, Glamour and Myth. And he's also, I see his best-selling book on Rory Gallagher, which was out in hardback and got a rave reviews, is now out in paperback and is getting rave reviews again. Julian, what did you make? What's happened?
Well, it's not like things happen. I mean, you go into a competition and you do your best. Like, I think Leslie Roy did her best. I think the staging was quite interesting. But in the bottom line is you've got to get votes. And she didn't get enough votes.
And by the way, I contrary to what a couple of your callers said, the voting system is completely fair. I think it's as fair as any system can be.
What, it's 50, kind of it's 50-50, is it?
It's 50-50, but in the televote, I mean, it's jury in each country.
And
a televote in each country, and they're combined. And each country has 58 points to give, whether the country is big or small. And so every country has to vote, every jury has to vote for 10 songs. So it's PR, enforced kind of PR. So, I mean, I think the spread of countries that got through, so there's no kind of... I mean, there is neighbour voting, but it's not significant in any way in deciding the winners or even the first 10. You know, that it's one of the myths. But, I mean... I have to say, I mean, it's a fascinating thing to be involved in. I always loved this, and Dermot Fairlong will remember all of some great nights of joy and disappointment together. And I mean, you go in, and I was involved under my watch where we had Jedward, probably the most successful was Jedward in 2011 in Dusseldorf, and they got 8.
And who picked Jedward, Julian?
Well, we had a mentor system then. We had people who were in the music business. Caroline Downey, well-known promoter and manager,
picked
Jedward. And then we had a competition on the Late Late Show, you remember. And Jedward walked it both years.
Who came up with that idea? Who came up with that idea of a mentor? Of 5 or 6 or 7.
A group of us inside.
Yeah, that's good.
At the time.
And do you know what happened this year? We picked a singer. I know you're not involved, but we picked the singer, is it?
Yes. They put out word. I mean, you put out word all the time.
Okay.
And they decided to take submissions from singers, as far as I know. And that's how Leslie Roy was picked last year, of course, as you know.
Yeah, of course.
So they decided, like a lot of countries, to go with the same singer.
You sent Jedward, and Jedward they're one of our best in recent years, weren't they?
Yeah, they came 8th in Dusseldorf.
Well, that's
before that, it was the best. Was Brian Kennedy came 10th in Athens in 2006.
Oh, did he? Great. That was a great song, yeah. Great singer. And not fazed by a crowd at all. Would he, Brian Kennedy, such a pro and on the go?
Dermot said that you know we need to send maybe some of our more established singers should step up to the plate, step up to the challenge of going to. I mean, it is risky. You go along and you do your best, and maybe it doesn't go right, and you end up down the pecking order. But that's what you need. And I mean, if you looked, anyone who saw last night, I mean, you can argue the toss on, you know, the stage, various songs, but, I mean, there were some mighty singers there last night, Cyprus, Israel. I mean, there were some very...
Your line has gone a bit there. But Julian, given that we have so many... like internationally popular youngish bands. I'm thinking of Codeline, the Groaners, I'm thinking of Fontaines DC, I'm thinking of Gavin James, I'm thinking of Dear McKennedy. The list goes on and on and on. The Pillow Queens, Roisin Oh.
But if any of those people wanted or thought they could do well in the Eurovision Song Contest, they would have made themselves known to RTE.
Okay, is it too risky for them, is it?
I can see why they. I mean, as a lover of the contest myself, I think they should try it. But I mean, I can see it is risky, and also, you know, you need. It's a particular song, a 3-minute pop song.
But you're thinking, Julian, are you saying that our some more established bands, and we include Crohn's and all that whole list, Aoife's got a whole lot of them in that some of them should step forward and say, I am willing, almost as an act of patriotism, I'm willing to represent Ireland.
But I think they should. Because, I mean, this is a big, it's like, as somebody said, it's like the World Cup or the European Championships or the Six Nations. You know, you want your country to do well, and if you want to see the tricolour in a green room in Azerbaijan or Rostam flying when you've done well. You need actors who are very experienced.
Good point. We'll try and clean up that line, but and remember, if you do get picked to represent Ireland, you go straight into the semi-finals. That's one way of looking at it. Where's Paul Mulvey and then Tom? Paul, good afternoon.
Hello, Joe.
What happened?
It was indistinguishable from the standard Eurovision type song that you forget about each year. There seems to be a whole mass of them, continental-type Eurovision-flavoured songs that they all just one blend into the other. But if you look back at the songs that have won it for us seven times, they were all good songs, number one. But the second point is, they were not corrupted or they weren't overtaken by any stage show. Dana in 1970 was the classic. Johnny Logan was out there on his own. Linda Martin, Niamh Kavanagh.
Yeah, were they not of their day? Like Dana was in, wasn't Dana in the Gaiety Theatre in Dublin?
Yeah, but hold on a second. But you had Paul Harrington and Charlie McGettigan 25 years
That's
ago.
That's right, just the two of them. Yeah, it was the song and the craftsmanship of them, the two lads and the RT orchestra. I take your point, yeah.
That's right. Niamh Kavanagh the year before, Linda Martin the year before that. So they were all good, strong songs and that stood on their own and they didn't have this crazy European continental circus going on behind them, which is just a distraction. And
but in fairness, they were all 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Say again, Dermot.
I'm just saying, in fairness, they were all great songs, but they're all also of their time. So that was 30 years ago, and the concept has moved on since then. And we have to move on with it.
What was our best Eurovision song? I know they were all very good, obviously. What was our best Eurovision winner, Dermot, in your opinion?
Well, for me, it would be Niamh Kavanagh, In Your Eyes.
In Your Eyes, yeah. Yeah, I thought there was a great slew. The voice was great.
I don't know whether that would work in this day and age, whether, you know, if that song was to be performed again tomorrow night, I don't know whether it would work because it's of its time.
Okay, Tom is in Dublin. Stay with us. Paul Mulvey, Tom, Dermot Furlong, Julian Silde. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Joe. I just think, like, we completely burn our bridges ever since we sent a turkey in a box screaming 12 points at everyone.
I thought it was very funny.
Yeah, but I just think it was, you know, two fingers up to Europe. And I think since then we're hiding to nothing.
Yeah, but we've done well after that, haven't we? Jedward came eighth. And remember, there was opposition to Jedward as well when they were suggested, saying they were a novelty act. And
well, I just think, you know, ever since that, Ireland's not serious, you know?
Okay, Julian, what do you think? Did that damage us? You would have known afterwards.
Remember that Dustin was picked by the public, mm-hmm. first. Secondly, it was 8 years ago, so people are hardly thinking about that when they think of voting for Ireland. And the next thing to remember is that there wasn't a critical word written in any newspaper about Dustin that year. It was people criticised the contest and they criticised this and that. The whole country was behind Dustin. That it was In retrospect, it was a bad idea. The joke didn't travel. Mm-hmm. Dustin couldn't sing very well, and he was surrounded by good singers. So, okay. But I mean, the other thing to remember is that people talk about the golden days, mm-hmm. but remember that when we won the contest all those times, the national language rule applied. So we could sing in English, whereas other countries, most other countries except the UK, couldn't. Oh. And that was, and that's not to take away from the.
And now everyone can sing in English, can't they?
Yeah, I mean it's very rare that a song in a national language wins the contest. I mean Serbia in 2009 was an example of that happening. But I mean, and as Dermot Furlong said, the contest has moved on, and I mean. By the way, the two men with strange outfits leaping around the stage, Jedward is our still our best result in the last 20 years. So, I mean, you have to take a song in the Eurovision Song Contest. It's more. It's not something with crutches and quavers. It's 3 minutes. And as Phil Coulter used to say when he worked on Eurostar, he said the meter is ticking. Once you're on that stage, you've got to do something. You've got to either sing well or you've got to dance well. You've got your chance, and you take your chance.
Ken O'Sullivan, LMFM. Ken, you're a former chairman, I'm told, of the Irish jury for the Eurovision. What's your take? What's happened?
Well, that was a huge honour, Joe. Thank you very much indeed for having me on. It's something I've always wanted to do, and it was a huge honour to be invited. My take on this is that it's not as bad as people are making it out to be, because we have got a huge amount of talent in this country. The trouble is, it's just not being tapped. It's the direction the songs are being taken. For instance, last night, I think the set detracted from the song, and too much was asked of Leslie. She was asked to run around the place on a treadmill. I mean, it's very, very difficult to do that and sing a song as well and hit all the notes she was expected to hit. So, I actually felt sorry for poor Leslie last night, but she was starting from well behind the eight ball, and she never really stood a chance. How we can fix this, and it's a very easy fix. It's so simple. We go back to basics. We go back to what we're good at. There's a huge pool of untapped talent in this country. We've got so many great singers and songwriters. Let's go back to them and say, right.
Yeah, but Julian Vignoles, Julian makes the point that they won't step forward. They don't want to participate.
Well, the thing is, and the reason for this is because they feel a little bit disrespected by the fact that RTE chose the Turkey all those years ago. It was a mistake. It was a tactical error, and things. I think the joke didn't travel. It was never going to work. And,
yeah, but Dustin. But the thing is, Dustin does travel in Ireland, and I don't think I'm not presuming anywhere. I don't think all the bands and soloists I spoke about in the last few. I don't think any of them would. They really take on board that Dustin was in it 12 years ago, and they don't want to be seen as the.
Look, I mean, the thing is, Dustin was always going to be the winner. I mean, there's no doubt about that. It was set up because the contest was actually held at the earliest time in the evening possible, because it was never held that early before to allow all the kiddies to kind of tune in and watch Dustin and vote for him. So the thing is, that was a set up straight away. Now, what a self-respecting artist is going to compose a song and spend time, effort, money, the whole lot, in actually sending in a song, knowing that they're going to finish second to a stuffed turkey.
Well, that was that. So that was then. This is now.
They're finding it very, very difficult to actually regain the confidence of RTE. I think RTE needs to come out and say, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to just get a singer and a song and do it properly and just throw some money behind it and get the singers and songwriters back on side and get their confidence back. Because when they do that, we will have a chance again. The last three or four winners, you talk about all the Russian grannies, you talk about all the singing and dancing. Yeah. That's all very well. But very few of those songs actually win Eurovision. It's usually a good song that wins.
But what about Julian Vignoles' point that it's only since every country, there used to be you have to sing in your native language, and obviously our your first or second language, obviously it was English for us. Though we did have a couple of entries, Ask Gaelge. But and now every country can sing in English.
Well, the rules change. I mean, we can't exactly be throwing our toys out of the pram just because the rules change. I mean, we weren't exactly objecting when we had the monopoly on when we were winning it 7 times. So we really can't be kind of complaining about it. No, you play the game as it seems. So let's get back. Let's get a decent singer and a decent song, and let's lose all the silly props and dancing around the bed, and let's just have a decent song. There's plenty of singer-songwriters knocking around at the moment. I mean, Brendan Graham, Jimmy Walsh, Ray Smith, Jerry Simpson.
Well, Brendan Graham won it twice, didn't he?
Yeah, I know that.
Rock and Roll Kids and The Voice.
And I was there for both Eurovisions, right? But the thing is, we need to get back to that.
Okay, well, I'll take your point. But what you're saying, if I paraphrase you, Ken, you think Brendan Graham won't put in a song because he doesn't want to follow in Dustin's footsteps?
Yeah, well, sorry, when I say Brendan Graham,
Turkey trots.
Yeah, when I say Brendan Graham, I mean composers of that ilk.
Julian.
Dustin is history at this stage. I mean, I don't think. I mean, let's move away from that. I mean, it may have been worth a try at the time, but it's. And I don't think that's. It's history. By the way, I mean, in staging, I mean, if the song hadn't had a stage, I thought it was quite an ambitious staging last night. If it hadn't got that, then people say, oh, well, why didn't we have a staging like
Malta
or,
was
you
know, one,
you,
yeah.
you can't win. And I mean, the great thing about the Eurovision Song Contest, I think, is that you can suddenly have a country like the Netherlands 2 years ago when they just came along with a fella behind a piano, or the Portuguese guy the year before, or 2 years before. Do you remember, he's just a lone singer. So you need, the great challenge of Eurovision is you've to go to the centre of musicality, if you like, and yet you have to stand out.
And then Julie, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly the point I was making, because that was all about the song. And the thing is, there have been great songs that have actually won Eurovision. Take away the thing, the fancy props and sets. Take away the fancy dances and lights and so on. The Netherlands, Portugal, even Austria, the bearded lady, right? That was a fantastic song. So it's all about the song. Let's concentrate on that. And we are bursting with talent in this country. Let's tap into it.
Philip Gaffney's in Dublin. Joe at RT.ie, 515 Moment Chance. Philip.
How are you?
Your point, please.
There's no future in history. Right? They're going on about what happened 12 years ago and Dustin and the whole lot. Unfortunately, I want to say that girl did an amazing job. Leslie Roy did Balbriggan, Dublin, Ireland crowd last night.
Okay.
And the one thing these people don't understand, the one thing all of the people who commented on this, have any of them ever gone on live television? Right?
Okay, yeah, we know. That's the job. That's your job.
But here's the thing, Joe, right? Here's the thing. She's geared up for that for the last 2 years. And just literally before she went to go on the air, there's a false start.
Okay, right? That wasn't her fault.
That wasn't her fault. But I can tell you, I've appeared on national television in America, so I understand how nerve-wracking it is, right? Mm-hmm. And I think she did a fantastic job. I don't think the song was the right song. I think my point is, what we need to do is represent our Irish culture, Irish stroke Celtic culture. And forget about them people that you named who don't want to put in their songs, because I can tell you there are people the length and breadth of this country who will write songs and put them in. And I don't know whether you've seen the thing on New Year's Eve. I can't remember the girl's name, but there was a young girl who sang the
Tola McKay, yeah.
Yeah, she sang the Saw Doctor song. The N70. Now, I was
around
that.
It was incredible.
Yeah. When I heard that song, I lived away for 5 years. I wanted to come home. I was sitting in my sitting room watching it, but I wanted to go home, even though I was at home, because her performance was a masterclass.
Okay, so you're saying we should use the Eurovision as a platform where there'll be zillions watching. Showcase Ireland, yeah.
Because
remember, I remember talking about it at the time, but the decision to take the Saw Doctor song N17, and hopefully someone will educate me here, but this is my understanding. The decision to take N17 from the Saw Doctor, it's a classic, and put the different interpretation on it with Tolu singing, I thought that came from someone in RTE.
No, I don't. It doesn't matter who it comes from.
I'm saying the talent is there.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's exactly. I'm not bashing RTE.
I know that. I wouldn't allow that anyway.
As far as I'm concerned, right?
It's worth pointing out. It wouldn't have qualified because the song can't be pre-commercially released.
I accept that point.
My point is, we took a song as that chap said earlier. Charlie McGettigan and the other guys were a song of that time. Well, we took a song of our time, remixed it, relaunched it, and it was just amazing.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying old songs.
Philip, before I let you go, what were you doing on American television?
Selling fairy doors. I made fairy doors and fairy windows, and I sold them on telly in America.
And how'd you get on?
I did extremely well for 10 years. And then another company set up. They saw me on telly in America, and I had an exclusive deal on all of mine I made here. I make them all in Dublin. But it is nerve wracking, Joe. I can tell you. As you know, when you're on, this is live television.
Live television, yeah.
And that girl was basically on the equivalent of being on, because if you take America as 50 countries and you take Europe,
selling fairy doors.
I'm still selling fairy doors and fairy houses, and I'm still ticking away. Well, I haven't been anywhere since last year, obviously, with the whole pandemic, but I'd normally be in America 8 times a year, traveling around selling. But I go on QVC, which is the shopping channel in America.
Very good. Okay. I'm back after this break. Thanks, Philip. Joe at RT.ie.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And Joe at RTE.ie, we're talking about the Eurovision. Dana Rosemary Scallon. Dana, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
And how are you?
I'm doing well. I hope you're well yourself.
Good, thanks, yeah. And Dana, you're listening. Do you think, are people being unfair to Leslie Roy?
Well, I just want to say thank you to Leslie. And okay. I think I'd be speaking for all the Eurovision entrants that I know that have gone from Ireland, because we know what it's like to go on there, the pressure, the nerves, the anxiety. There'd be nobody feeling more down about the result than Leslie herself. But she is a good artist. It was a good song, and she gave it her best, Joe. And I think really we just need to say thanks to her and encourage her to just keep her head up and keep going. She didn't let us down.
And what do you think of the overall? Did you watch much of it, Dana?
I did. I watched all of it.
Okay. And what did you think generally?
Well, I think there were some very strong songs in there. You know, when I took part, as you rightly said, it was a different time and it was a simpler presentation. And sometimes I feel the artist is fighting with the effects behind them, you know. And sometimes the effects are extraordinarily beautiful and they combine with the song and the singer and they're fine. But sometimes they're distracting.
Just to remind people, well, a lot of people remember anyway because it's an iconic image, isn't it? Still used everywhere. That when you represented Ireland and won it, I think you were 17, were you, Dana?
Well, I'm willing to lie about this now, Joe. I think I was 12. Would you accept that one?
No,
I don't think you would.
I think
no.
You were 16 or 17. I don't know, but you were young.
Everybody thinks I was 14, and I don't put them out their wrist now. I just let them go.
Okay, but you were just sitting on a stool, weren't you, really?
I was, and I wasn't having to kind of sprint almost as Leslie was doing and work with other props and things. And I just wanted to say thanks, Leslie. And you did a good job. You gave your best, and you're a good artist, and it was a good song.
Have you heard this young child, Emma Sophia, singing? Singing all kinds of everything.
Isn't that gorgeous? And how can I see her? I must see her now. I'll have to make a point of seeing her.
Yeah, she does it. She does it extraordinarily well.
Does she?
Extraordinarily.
There
she is. There.
Thank you.
She's lovely.
Joe, well, do you know, she's
three, Dana.
That now.
She's three. Won. She's 9 years younger than you when you represented Ireland in the Eurovision.
Thank you, Joe. I always liked you now. You're growing in my estimation as your math disapproves.
Okay. And how are you keeping in Galway? How did you manage during the pandemic?
Well, we just kind of hunkered down. Well, the first part of it, we were actually in lockdown in Australia.
Oh, wow.
We were going to visit. We're the typical Irish family. We've two children in Australia. And we were there for the birth of a grandchild.
Oh,
which,
congratulations.
It was lovely, Joe, because we had nearly 5 months there, so we were able to have a bit more time with them all. And then back here, I think it's been very hard in some ways that you can't be with, especially older relatives that you want to see.
Yeah, of course.
That's hard. But in other ways, maybe it's also given us time to get the important things into perspective.
Okay, and how many grandchildren have yourself and Damien got now?
Well, believe it or not, Joe, 8.
Oh, God.
8.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Do you like being a granny?
I love it.
Do you?
I absolutely love it, because when I was working, when my children were young, you know, you were often on the road and it was a struggle to balance work and home life. And I nearly feel like I'm able to give something back.
Wow.
And I do. I absolutely love it.
And are they many are in Ireland and many far flung?
Well, we have three in Ireland.
Okay.
And we have five in Australia.
Okay. Any singers in the family?
Well, actually, they do sing. Two granddaughters who sing all day long there in Australia. But I have to say, that little one at 3 years of age,
Emma Sophia, yeah.
That's a really good voice.
And what's your eldest? Have any of your grandchildren, Dana, seen their nana? I don't know, what do they call you, nana or mama or whatever?
Granny. Granny.
Have any seen Granny in that incredible iconic footage, the black and white of you singing when you were 16, 17, when winning the Eurovision?
Are they of an age? Yeah,
the
two older girls have. And do you know what I love, Joe, is when you meet young children and they'll say, I saw you singing in Eurovision. And to them, it's as real as if it was yesterday.
And they don't see you as they see you as that age. Yeah, they don't see any difference.
That's right.
That's our granny. Okay. Okay, granny, did they call you Granny Rosemary or Granny Scallon or Granny? They don't call you Dan, obviously.
Just Granny.
Okay. Well, congratulations. And good health to them and all yours, Dana. And
thanks indeed.
And thanks for your support and message for Leslie Roy, which we will pass on. 1850 715 815.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with the Kia Dealers of Ireland. Our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
Joe Duffy.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Nightmares that I've been fighting. Easy to run, hard to stay. Finding colors in the gray. Thought I was done, but I got it wrong. I fell twice, I'm twice as strong. I've been searching all the wrong places. I've been trying to many faces. Only one way to go. This is the way back. Searching all the wrong places. I've been trying into many faces. Only one way to go. This is the way they
are. That's Leslie Roy from last night in Rotterdam. Didn't make it out of the semi-final for Ireland, unfortunately, with that song Maps. John Morris, what happened?
John, how are you?
Good.
Joe, sorry. Yeah. I'm just thinking we may have lost the plot here in terms of the focus. We should be writing a song for Europe. A song for Europe, not a song to make Dublin proud or to make Balbriggan proud. And we have to realise that the people who are voting are not Irish people. There are people in Germany, Italy, Spain. And
what went wrong?
Well, we didn't have a performance, really. We had problems with vocals in terms of tuning, and the song itself wasn't carried by the performance. So I'd rather focus on what we could do to be serious about
it. I know you're a choir master, but I just wonder, do the vocals make it? I'm given the night that's in it, I know the public vote is. But I couldn't recognise anyone whether they're on key or off key.
But does
it make a big difference?
It does. Well, I listen to RT's excellent coverage on the radio rather than watch it. And just to make it very clear, the vocals were not in. A lot of musicians I've spoken to today, felt let down on that front. But I don't want to be bashing at that stage, because really that's to do with a performance. I think what we really are missing is that it's Europeans that are listening to this performance. So that when we go to choose a song and a performer, it's one that will appeal to the greater European audience who have the votes. We can't rely on expat votes in the UK
getting us
through. So we can't rely on any of those things. So also, I think some of your commentators so far have been slightly parochial and defending the flag, and that's all good. But really, if you want to win, winning is about excellence. and it's not about establishing participation as being good enough. You made a very good point about all those wonderful Irish artists earlier on on this program. I hear late days every night showcases them, and the talent is unbelievable. It's way ahead of anything we've ever put on the stage. So we have to find a way of going for that excellence. But I think we need it has to appeal to the European ear. I think we've missed that. We missed it with Dustin, obviously, years ago. I think we're continually missing it. In the past, that wasn't so much the case.
What's the formula then for next year, John?
I think what we have to do is maybe we need to do some research on what's appealing to those Eastern European, Middle European countries. They have a different set of ears, Joe, than we have. And I think we've got into the habit.
Well, does any Irish artist sell well out there then? Apart from you two and Enya and Sinead O'Connor.
I don't know. It's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. Yeah, because we've got very inward focused. I think even in the discussion today, we brought out all the winners and everything else that were great locally. But Europe has changed. The world has moved on. So we maybe need to go and actually do the research. I see what people are listening to. Like people, the charts are very different in Germany, and don't forget they're hearing it in English, and some of them mightn't speak English. So none of the attributes that we feel are important to us may be important to some of these other countries where the votes are. I mean, to be honest with you, as we listened to the show...
So you're saying we should go to the capitals of Zagreb and...
get the feeling.
Prague.
Get the feeling, yes, exactly.
Belgrade, Bratislava, Ljubljana, all those new countries, so to speak.
Yeah, to
Bucharest,
if we want to win.
Skopje, I mean, North Macedonia.
Yeah.
Now, these are Valletta, Malta, Moldova, Chisinau, Montenegro.
Yeah. Just have a sense of what they like, of what is on their equivalent of RT on a Saturday night.
Stay with us, John. James Kilbahn is you were an entrant, weren't you, James?
Hi, Joe, and hello to all your listeners. Yeah. I'll be brief enough with you, Joe, and I'd have to agree with some of a number of the points that were made. And I only tuned into it. I'm on the road, and I've just pulled in, Joe.
Okay, yeah,
and we've chatted about this in the past, Joe, and lots of articles have been wrote over probably the last 10 years on the subject. And I think the points in relation to identifying globally, and not even globally, across Europe. There's a good point to that, but really, in a sense, European and Irish music, it somewhat does evolve naturally enough, as these things do. However, Joe, in the past, I spoke and mentioned, this really nationally shouldn't be decided within a room in RTE. I do think RTE have a responsibility because no other Irish television channel have the right to basically do this. Other channels might like to, but that's in the pre. It has to, because I researched this down over a number of years ago and wrote a number of letters and got replies and got answers to some of the questions on it from people in RTE at the time off the structures of various different things. Now, personally, myself, it's a personal view as an artist, a songwriter to a lesser extent, but certainly as a singer and who releases music. I do think there is an onus on RTE. It was always as a vehicle to Irish singers and writers to go on a national platform.
Okay,
first.
So are you thinking that, I think it was Dermot who mentioned Sweden, or was it Paul, earlier on, that they've gone back to the old weekly competition.
I'm not saying weekly competition. I do think, I'm not saying that those idol shows or whatever you want to call them, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that approach in finding the artist, because that creates another television vehicle. Until I finish. Having there's eighth grade writers, and this idea that people just throw out that, no writers would be willing to put in songs. Some great writers could write 100 songs a year.
Mm-hmm.
Writers pitch songs to artists, and they get turned down, and they might write something that suits the artist. So that's something in there. It also, they'd have singers in the back of their minds that they're familiar with or involved with that are good songwriters. It isn't the vehicle. And you'll have some writers as well, Joe, that would be starting, they're newcomers, up against the great writers, mm-hmm. like you spoke of Brendan Graham, and seasonal writers like John Farry, who churns out great writers. Then you've got great artists like Derek Ryan. And I'm sure in the pop world, there's young Kennedy there that's making a name for himself. It's a great platform for Irish writers to have their own singers who they know are great performers. Believe me, the writer of a song will bring out a singer that they feel that will present their song good. So it gets over this situation of maybe going off. It's a tough gig going off in front of maybe 20. Hold on, Joe. Just let me see this out. Now, you're then saying, well, what's the performance, X, Y, and Z? Look, let's call a spade here over the past number of years. I've had to watch some of the Eurovisions for other radio stations and critique them. And all I have seen, not this time, I wasn't able to watch last night, and it must be one of the few ones. But for the past 10 years, in all this debate, in the top five or six songs, you've got the bands, you've got the dancing acts, and you've got the big ballad singers. They are still there, and they're still able to win. It's just RTE need to look at the cost of it. I understand that, but this shouldn't be done and dusted by individuals who have the responsibility in your organisation, Joe. And I know there could be certain costs, but I'm sure it could be done in a way that it will be cost effective, and at least it will be creating giving a bit of the soul of Eurovision back to the writers and back to the singers of the country.
Point well made. Thanks, James Kilbane. Rhoda McManus, Rhoda, your point, please. You're on the Wexford jury for the National Song Contest. They voted for What's Another Year. What's gone wrong in the meantime and every single year for the last decade, maybe? Well, Jedward did well, and Brian Kennedy. Go ahead, Rhoda.
Yeah. Well, I suppose my perspective on it is coloured by my experience of being on one of those juries. Hmm. And it was a very rigorous process. There were juries all over the country. We had to listen to every song twice. We were given the printed sheets of the lyrics of all of the songs. So there was a minimum of two listenings for each song, and then we could request a repeat hearing of every individual song.
This was to pick the Irish entry.
This was to pick the Irish entry, exactly, yeah. And now, we were chosen by RTE. I was running the Wexford Arts Centre at the time, and the chairman was Jim Golden from the Wexford Festival Opera. So maybe we were chosen because we were involved in the arts, but certainly we knew that we had picked the best song. And then we were vindicated and kind of went on to win
should we go back to having a national song contest with voting like that?
I firmly believe that.
And maybe even two or 3 weeks on a Saturday or 8 o'clock.
As far as I know, these judgings all happened on the same day, you know, that we were, all the juries were, so there wasn't a chance of our knowing what the other juries were voting for. So we were all individually closeted, like we were locked into a hotel room, you know, for the whole day. But it was an interesting process, and certainly we knew we had picked the best song of the bunch. We knew that. And then when it went on to win the Eurovision, I mean, we were even happier about that. So, yes, I do think that's the way to do it, to go back to that.
Go back to the old
and
way,
My view on the current method of selection is that I think now that every TV station is simply following a generic model for what they think will win, and that the best way to win it in the future would be to look for the outlier, to look for something that is different, that will stand out as different from the other entrants. So, for instance, when we had Riverdance in the Eurovision Song Contest...
That was the interval act. By the way, you'll see the trailer on Sky. It's coming out. There's a movie made, an animated movie made based on Riverdance. It's coming out in 2 weeks.
And
it's incredible. It's incredible. Stay there for a sec, Rhoda. Rhoda, okay. John Grimes. John, good afternoon.
Hello, Charles. A pleasure to talk to you.
And a pleasure to talk to you as the father of Jedward, who I admire, John and Edward. Everyone, though, I mentioned him on the programme yesterday. And John, by the way, I haven't spoken to you since, but condolences on the passing of Susanna. I know everyone was deeply, deeply upset at her untimely passing. John, what do you think of what do you think has gone wrong, John?
Well, basically, what I was going to say, and I'll set you through your researchers there, yeah.
that, like, no one goes out to represent their country. Like, I mean, they all go to make their best efforts, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I have to say, congratulate Leslie Roy. She put on a great performance under the, yeah, you know, the current situation, circumstances. And some of your previous callers expressed, you know, the ditches that went wrong and the various things. But at the end of the day, you know, she done the very best she could, the same as previous contestants and all the other contenders that were there last night as well in the semi-final. But I will say, like, you know, that the goalposts keep changing. And like some of your previous callers were talking about changing, you know, an Irish kind of team to the songs and all that. It's a song contest. And, like, the thing is, there has been a national song contest in the past, and your last caller emphasised that, you know what I mean? That it was more success with that. But in saying all those things, like, initially, the song contest was set off as a non-political competition throughout Europe, which kind of alleviate, you know, any political unrest between various countries.
And the point that you...
All those things considered.
Okay, and it's now 10 years since your two sons represented Ireland. Did their career benefit from it?
Well, I think everyone, you know, looks at it in a different light. And as I say, everyone benefits in some shape or fashion, because really, it doesn't do anyone any harm. And it's a great honour to represent your country. No matter in what event or what competition.
Okay.
But you're flying the banner for Ireland, you know.
Okay.
And as I say, I think, you know, people were talking about dust and all that. That's history, as the previous caller said.
Okay. And Jedward came sixth, which was fantastic with lipstick. John Grimes, thanks indeed, and hello to your two fantastic sons, John and Edward. Rebecca Mean, producer Ray Darcy now.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1. With the Kia dealers of Ireland, our doors are open again for sales and test drives. Find your local Kia dealer at kia.com.
1850 715 815 stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.